A thing that looks like a police box standing in a junkyard. It can move anywhere. Haven,
concentrate on
Sin.
Give priority to the detectors and the navigation systems.
There is a corridor. And the corridor is time. It surrounds all things.
On display, I eventually had to go down to the cellar.
That's the display department.
With a torch.
The light's probably gone.
So had the stairs.
You are just number 6.
I am not a number. I am a person.
Welcome to British Invaders, episode 479. This is the podcast all about British science fiction television, and this time we are talking about Noughts and Crosses. This is Brian from Canada.
And this is Eamon in England. Hello.
We are looking at an alternate history series that is based on a famous book series of the same name, Noughts and Crosses. There were two series with a total of 10 episodes. They were broadcast on the BBC in 2020 and 2022. And it's a look at an alternate history version of Great Britain, where Africa has become a colonial superpower.
And this series asks the very interesting question, what would the world be like if racial divides had been reversed? It poses some challenging questions for us as viewers and stuff that we're going to get into as we go along, because this is absolutely fascinating.
Yes, and I think it does do more than just a simple role reversal. It's a little deeper than that. And yeah, there's a lot here.
So we learn in the introduction that 700 years ago, an empire grew out of the continent of Africa, and the African Empire conquered and colonized most of Europe and Albion, as the British Isles were known then. And they're still known as Albion in this alternate history of the world.
And there was a war in which Europe was divided up, but Albion continued under African rule. That's African with a P. Albion has the status of some kind of colony or protectorate of Africa. And the people of African descent are the dominant class. They have all of the positions of power, and they are known as crosses.
And then, of course, we've got the other part of the population, the sort of European population of Albion, who are known as Noughts, which seems to represent exactly how much or how little they are valued in this world. I'll note that in the books, I understand, Brian, that when they're called Noughts, it's not even with a capital N. They just have a small initial N signifying their low status.
Oh, that's interesting. And of course, not is a word for zero, used more commonly in the UK than elsewhere. And Noughts and Crosses is the name of the simple board game that in North America is called tic-tac-toe. It's Noughts and Crosses in the UK. So that's just a little bit on this title. And in the series, Noughts do all of the so-called menial tasks and low-paying work. They are domestic servants, they are dock workers, they are doing unpleasant type of work or undervalued work that is not paying a lot.
Indeed, yeah.
Yeah, and they tend to live in neighborhoods that are economically depressed and sort of maybe ghettos in some ways. And they really are in a position that is a weak one and a difficult one.
And we've mentioned how their title, they're being referred to as Noughts, gives us some indication of how little valued they are in this society. I would also point out that there's a less polite term used for the Noughts as well, that occasionally they are called blankers, which is a skin tone related term of abuse. I don't think it takes too much thought to see the significance of that word in this alternate history that we're looking at.
Yeah, that's right. It's clear that it's something that is not something that you want to hear people say, and it's a term that has a great deal of negative weight with it.
Now, having said that they are the underclass, there are some new opportunities opening up for Noughts. There are some attempts at integration going on. We'll talk about those when we get to our characters in a moment. But I have to say that, as with any segregated society, when there are attempts at integration, this leads to resistance, it leads to unpopularity for politicians, and in this case, it leads to violent unrest, which seems to be brewing, particularly, obviously, amongst the Noughts.
Yes, absolutely. And as you might see from what we've said already, there's some pretty intense stuff in this show. So getting into the characters, Persephone, or Sophie Hadley, played by Misali Baduza, is the daughter of a high-profile cross politician. She is rich and beautiful and very privileged, but is also sympathetic to Noughts and is friendly with them and willing to interact with them, which many crosses are not.
Then we have Callum McGregor, played by Jack Rowan. He is a Nought who has just gained admission to a high-profile cross military school. This is one of these new initiatives for integration that appears to be going badly. He was friends with Sophie when they were children, and I don't think it's too much of a giveaway to say that these are going to be our star-crossed lovers of this drama.
Yes, and I do wonder if the title Noughts and Crosses also has a reference to star-crossed lovers, the term from Romeo and Juliet, which certainly applies here.
Indeed, yeah.
Kamal Hadley, played by Patterson Joseph, who we remember from Neverwhere and the Survivors remake. He's done a lot of different things. Kamal Hadley is the Home Secretary of the colonial Albion government. He is very ambitious and he is eyeing the Prime Minister's job. He is also a strictly segregationist. He has some secrets in his past and he is definitely someone who wants to keep the Noughts in their place and does not think very much of them.
Then we have Callum's mother, Meggie McGregor, played by Helen Baxendale, who you may know from the popular series Cold Feet, but we saw her in Dirk Gently. She is, as I've said, Callum's mother, and she was the housekeeper and nanny for the Hadleys, for Kamal Hadley and his family. So therefore, she helped bring up his daughter, Sophie, and her own children. They used to play together as kids. So we got this sort of, you know, that Sophie and Callum knew each other since they were children. They played together. There's some acceptance. And it's probably as they're growing older, they begin to realize that as a cross and a Nought, they're not supposed to interact.
Yes, and that is sort of what explains Sophie's much greater level of acceptance of Noughts. Opal Falomi, played by Reki Iola, who was the chief judge from the Dread movie, is the British Prime Minister, and a more liberal voice who is more accepting of Noughts in her politics and wants to integrate them more into cross society and believes in allowing romantic relationships and different kinds of interactions between Noughts and crosses, which are generally banned and forbidden at this point. She is pushing this agenda to allow more of these types of things.
And we've got a large cast of characters. We'll just mention one more, Jack Dawn, who is played by Sean Dingwall. And Sean Dingwall you will recognize as Rose's father in the new Doctor Who when it came back in 2005. Jack Dawn is the leader of the Liberation Militia, known as the LM. He is an outspoken revolutionary leader who believes in violent methods to free Albion from what he sees as an invading culture. And he, as I say, is not beyond using violence, corruption, foul play to get what he thinks the country needs. So as we've said, Callum is at this tough military academy for crosses. He is one of the first of a small sort of tranche of Nort recruits. But of course, he's experiencing racism and hostility from the crosses in the academy. Things are going quite badly for Callum. And we've got the Hadley family, this rich, powerful cross family who have a clear plan, it seems, for their daughter, including a possible romance and a marriage to the son of another prominent cross family. Spoilers, that obviously is not going to happen with our star-crossed lovers, but that's what the Hadleys are planning.
That's right. And you have the commanding officers in Callum's group clearly want to make these not recruits fail. And they want this whole initiative to collapse. So we see a lot of things like that. But Sophie and Callum continue to interact with each other. And this revived childhood friendship turns to love and to a romantic relationship. And this becomes a central element of things. Callum's brother has been persuaded by Jack Dorn's arguments, and he's joined up with the Liberation Militia, the LM, and Kamal Hadley is maneuvering politically and trying to get into the prime minister's seat.
Yeah, I mean, it's a powder keg, basically, is going on. As you can tell, we've got these various maneuverings going on. And I'm going to say that events are headed for an incredibly, it's a literal explosion that will change the dynamic dramatically in series one of this show. Things are very intense in the world of noughts and crosses.
Yeah, and it's happening at all levels. We see the jockeying for power at the high up political level that is very much about how much do you want the noughts to be able to participate in society. We have things happening with potential violence and things at street level. We also have things with this jockeying for how the knots will be treated in the military and so on. There's a lot that's going on here.
Indeed. Let's talk about the production of this show. Noughts and Crosses is based on a very popular series of novels by the author Mallory Blackman. Her first novel, Noughts and Crosses, was published in 2001 and then followed by five more novels and three novellas all set in the same world. And they're quite popular, Brian.
Yes, it was a big success in the young adult fiction category. And of course, YA fiction sort of became a well-defined genre and a very popular one in that sort of time period in the early 2000s. And this was a series that became a big deal. Mallory Blackman actually became the British Children's Laureate from 2013 to 2015 in the UK.
Quite an important post over here, charged with, improving children's literacy and getting kids into books and reading and writing creatively.
Yeah, very interesting. Her first book in the series, Noughts and Crosses, was adapted for the stage by the Royal Shakespeare Company, no less, in 2008. It was renamed Black and White and starred Richard Madden and Oni Uhiara.
Yeah, so an RSC production, which is of interest to us, but also adapted again by the Pilot Theatre Company for a tour. This time it was called Noughts and Crosses. That was a 2019 production. And I note it's also been done on the radio. BBC Radio 4's Saturday Drama Strand in 2012 adapted the first book. I have looked for that on the BBC Sounds app, but it doesn't seem to be available. But, of course, what is available is that in 2016, Mallory Blackman and the BBC announced that a TV version was in development of her first book, which was very exciting news.
Yes, for sure. Originally, it was to be written and showrun by the playwright by Levy David Adai, along with Matthew Graham, co-creator of Life on Mars. We know him from there. But they both had to bow out of that because of other commitments. So Toby Whithouse was brought in, took over as showrunner. We know his work from being the creator of Being Human and also for writing several new Doctor Who episodes.
Oh, I'd forgotten he'd written for new Doctor Who as well. That's right.
Yeah, it was about 8 or 9 episodes, I think, and Torchwood as well, I believe.
Big team of writers, 5 other writers that he led for this series. Interestingly, the show was produced by none other than Jay-Z's Roc Nation production company and the Participant Media production company, a co-production of those two. And interestingly, again, moved to South Africa for filming. I understand, Brian, you said it's mostly shot in and around Cape Town.
Yeah, most of the city type things were done in Cape Town.
And fascinating to pause for a moment and think about that country's history of segregation and, you know, how that impacts this show filmed there. And the architecture, the sort of the mixtures of colonial architecture, European influences and African styles certainly was a help to the production and the look of this show.
Yeah, they sort of used those to be the reverse of what they originally were. Which is interesting. They did have to hide all of the palm trees because you had a lot of them in Cape Town and not so many in London.
Yeah.
The 10 episodes were directed by Julian Holmes, Kobe Adam, and Kibwe Tavares. The music was composed by Matthew Herbert, with some Black and African musicians collaborating with him on that as well. And then there was costume design by DeHantis Engelbrecht, which brings in some color and texture and designs from African fashion to Albion, because there is this intense African influence that covers everything in this world. So the team helped bring that in with the costumes.
Yeah, huge work for the costume department and for hair and makeup artists led by Nadine Prigg and Madeline Kruger, who really give us the hair and the look, the tattoos. Everything is about how this African empire has dominated British culture in Albion. And it's really well done, really cleverly done to use costumes, hair and makeup to really sort of give us the look of this show.
Yes, it's quite outstanding. Series 1 of Noughts and Crosses was broadcast weekly on BBC One at 9 p.m. starting on March 5th of 2020 and continuing from there. It was also added to the USA Peacock streaming service later that year and then broadcast on ABC in November of 2021.
So nice to see it getting an overseas broadcast as well. It's a very well-reviewed series. The first series of 6 episodes did extremely well, and so it returned for a second series of a further 4 episodes in 2022, which we might talk a little bit about when we come back next time.
Absolutely. So let's talk about the availability.
Great. So in Region 2, as ever, it's nice and easy. Streaming for free on the BBC iPlayer app currently, which is where I've been watching the 10 episodes. But you can also buy it on Amazon Video for £12 for the season. There are DVDs. There's a Season 1 DVD, which is £6 and £10 for Season 2. I think you said, Brian, there's about 15 minutes of extras on the first DVD, but none on the second.
That's right. Series 1 was done on 2 discs, and they included a few extras that came up to about 15 minutes. But Series 2 was on 1 disc, and it just had the episodes.
There are a few extra features on the BBC website for the show itself, which you can find. And I'll also note that the first series DVD is available to rent on cinemaparadiso.co.uk over here. Strange I couldn't find the second one, but the first one is there. So, in Region 2, lots of ways to watch it quite easily, particularly if you've got the BBC iPlayer app. Over in Region 1, Brian.
In Region 1, there is no DVD or Blu-ray release. It is still streaming on Peacock in the US. I know series one was streaming on CBC Gem in Canada. It no longer is as of the last time I looked, so maybe it will come back there at some point. I did see some imports of the Region 2 disc on Amazon, about $9 US or $8 Canadian for series one, and about $21 US or $25 Canadian for series two.
Very good. Now, of course, the original books are widely available. You will find them in most bookshops. Mallory Blackman's very successful series. I have to say my daughter's read them, but I haven't. I'll also note that if you go to the BBC Sounds app, you won't, unfortunately, find that radio version of it. You won't find the soundtrack music there anymore. It was on the BBC Sounds app, but now you can find music from the series from a variety of musicians. You can find it on Apple Music and Amazon. So there is a soundtrack album out there with music featured in the series.
That would be an interesting album. They did some interesting things with that soundtrack.
One to have a listen to, perhaps.
So next time, we will talk a little more about series two and discuss a bit of the popularity of YA fiction and the sort of eye-opening relevance of this show. You know, a lot to say about that.
Lots to say indeed. Plus, of course, we'll get to our own review and we'll recommend or otherwise this series for you. So stuff to talk about next time, Brian.
Yes, plenty to talk about there too. Until next time, you can find all of our episodes at BritishInvaders.com. And if you search for British Invaders on Facebook, you can find our group there. You can also follow us on Threads and Instagram. We are at British_Invaders_podcast on both of those platforms.
Please come and find us on social media and let us know what you think. And please come and find us as part of the Voice of Geeks Network, where British Invaders is one of several shows involved. You'll find that at VogNetwork.com for gaming, streaming, podcasting, and more. VogNetwork.com.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening. And this is Brian from Canada signing off.
Yes, thank you very much indeed. Until next time, Eamon in England also signing off.